to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, we have Kevin D. Randall, a very extremely prolific author because he's written over 100 books, second only to Brad Steiger. More books than Isaac Asimov?
No, I was just talking about people involved in the UFO field. Isaac Asimov got credit for like 500, and there was some romance writer, I think she did like 750.
Well, of course, Walter B. Gibson wrote, 300 novels about the shadow.
Well, did he or did he have help? I know Don Pendleton, who started the Executioner series for Gold Eagle book. I actually wrote Gold Eagle, Executioner number, I think it's 114. And it was Don Pendleton's Executioner. They bought it out and Pendleton stopped writing it. So the question is, did he write all those books or did somebody else write them? Asimov, with his 500 books, a lot of them he was the editor on. He gathered papers and put things together and like that, or short story collections. So maybe
that's cheating.
Well, his rules, his game. He can say, I don't think he ever said he wrote 500 books. I think he had credit for 500 books. I don't think Asimov ever said it. I think in the Guinness Book of World Records, there was a woman who wrote 700 romance novels. On a lot of I was doing a series of books called Vietnam Ground Zero, and there were actually six that I didn't write, so I don't count those in my list of books that I wrote.
At least you're trying to be intellectually honest about it. Okay, let's go back to one more thing here. With regard to Roswell, do you have a time frame as to when you think there's going to be a report from this Dream Team, or is that still kind of up in the air?
There's been a couple of diversions that we've had to deal with, and personal problems that have arisen with some of the team members that they've had to deal with. I mean, deaths in the family and things like that, which is inhibited. The other thing is some of the investigations we're dealing with people who are not as enthusiastic as we are, so we're delayed by them. One of the things we've been doing is, in the first book, we talked about these nuns in Roswell who'd seen the object in the air. And I was of the opinion that Don had actually seen the diary entry. And it turned out he hadn't. The information came from a guy named Bill English. We kind of accepted it because Bill English was a old Special Forces captain. He'd been in the Army Green Berets. So we found him to be reliable. We have since found out that Bill English was not a Special Forces officer. He spent very little time in the military, and he was a PFC. So the credibility slipped. But we had talked to, he sent us to a nun in Roswell, and we talked to her, and she told us where the diaries were. Well, we've spent 2 years tracing the diaries, and what we finally found is, they were moved from Roswell to a repository in Oklahoma, and they ended up in another repository in Wisconsin, but the diaries that they have there only go back to 1960, so now we're trying to find out where the earlier diaries are. So, I mean, and we've got to deal with the Catholic Church on this, and they're trying to protect their nuns and their diaries and make sure that everything is done properly so nobody's embarrassed by anything, and so it's just become a real bugaboo. So we have to right on that. On the Ramey memo, for example, one of the things we've done is we found a couple of people who were very involved in studying the photographs, but they know nothing about the background of it. They're just given the photograph and says, what can you, they're just the memo part, and what can you read there? And so we've got to wait for them to have an opportunity, because they're doing it out of the kindness of their hearts to help us out. So we have to wait for them to get their work done, and it's a long, involved process. So we're gathering information. We're trying to, we're going back and listening to all the taped interviews that we have of the witnesses, so that we can see exactly what they said originally and compare it with what has been published in the past. So I found that we have J. Bond Johnson, who was the guy that took the photographs, was always accusing me of misquoting him. I actually found a place in one of the tape interviews with him where I actually left out a word in transcribing the tape. So he was right. I misquoted him. I left a word out. I think it was an "and."
You know what? You just can't get away with doing that. But then we'll do an update in the near future and see where you're going with this. let's go to the book, because there's a bunch of things there, and we are getting near the halfway point on the show, and we haven't really covered the book to any extent. Now, I was reading a section that you did about so-called ancient astronauts and artifacts recovered that may indicate supposed advanced technology, and I came away with the impression that you just don't buy it.
A lot of that information that has come out, if you go back to the original sources of it, you find that the way it's been translated, you might say, into the modern UFO world doesn't really fit. The best example I can think of is this story that appeared in the 1852 Scientific American. It was about a metal vessel. And I've always thought of it as a gravy boat for some reason, but I've actually seen a picture of it since, and it's more like a bell, a fancy inlaid bowl-like object that was supposedly blown out of granite in a quarry in Massachusetts in the 1850s. You read a lot of the UFO books, and they talk about this thing, and who was making these things back long enough ago that it could get mixed in with the material that eventually became granite. You know, it's, it means it's millions of years old. And well, you go back and you read the story, you find out, well, that's not quite what they said, and it could have been associated with material on top of the granite that was collapsed when the explosion took place. I mean, but they were mining the granite or milling the granite or whatever, so it may not have actually been in the granite but associated with material on top of it, meaning on the ground. But what I found interesting about that was in the Scientific American, they talked about this might have been something made by a fellow named Tuba Cain. And I knew nothing about Tuba Cain. And I got looking at that, the Scientific American, because the bound periodicals were at the University of Iowa Library, and I also have researched them online. And you look at that, and there's this little thing off to the side, and it looks, you know, like a mark on the page. And you look at it carefully, and it turns out it's an L, and it's Tubal Cain. And then we discover that Tubal Cain is a Masonic symbol or a Masonic reference. And so you're wondering, well, was this story put in the Scientific American as some kind of a message to other Masons of the time? And so, you know, you get diverted into these other things. So the real point is the mystery of this device, this thing that was made, may not have been as ancient as it was, but it takes us off into a different direction that is also kind of interesting, but it really has nothing to do with really ancient civilizations or alien visitations. It takes us in a different direction. The Baghdad batteries, and I wanted to do something on that because I'd been to Baghdad, and I'd been to Babylon where they supposedly were uncovered, and I thought, well, I can actually put pictures of Babylon that I took in the book. But these are earthenware jars with metal rods in them and electrolyte, you know, like citric acid in them that generate an electrical current. People have talked about that for years. Nothing to suggest an alien technology. Clearly these things exist. Clearly they're at least 1,500 years old, maybe 2,000 years old. And you think, well, what were the ancient Babylonians doing with batteries that created a very low level of current? And so there's, you know, that's kind of an interesting development, but it really doesn't lead us to the extraterrestrial or anything like that. It's kind of interesting. So when you go back and you look at the ancient sources, when you look at the original sources for some of this stuff, it just doesn't, it's not quite as mysterious as it's been made out to be by some of the writers. And that was one of the things I wanted to do with the book, is take a look at the whole range of history of UFOs from the really, really ancient up to the modern times. And see what I could learn about it and provide the best evidence I could find about some of these things.
All right, let's look at this further as we progress. So the suggestion I see in the book is that the popular writers who introduced these concepts, the Baghdad batteries, all these out-of-place things, that maybe they exaggerated a little bit or made a few interpretations that were not kosher, and that's why they came up with these theories. You'll get an answer, and there's time for an answer in a moment. Kevin D. Randall is our guest. His latest book, among many, is Alien Mysteries, Conspiracies, and Cover-Ups, and we're going dark and deep into what he talks about. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Don't be surprised when the global elite confiscates money from your bank account one day. They have already very clearly telling you that they're going to do it, with what just happened in Cyprus serving as a blueprint for future bank bailouts. If you are concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and I will send you a booklet with 10 reasons why gold and silver could be right for you. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the next bank bailout hits. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. Or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Did you know that 50% of heart attacks are brought on by infections? Did you know that hospitals are breeding grounds for antibiotic-resistant bugs like MRSA? The environment is infected with parasites, and the mild winter means ticks with Lyme disease, mosquitoes with West Nile virus, and cold and flu viruses will be on the rise. Protect yourself with nature's natural antiparasitic, antiviral, antifungal, antibiotic, Allicin, the heart of garlic. Get concentrated protection with Alli-C and Alli-Ban from Affinity Health Products. One capsule of Alli-C equals 40 cloves of garlic or 100 garlic pills with no garlic breath. Alli-Ban has Allicin in spray, liquid, and cream forms with three times more strength than leading brands and costs less. Go to Alli-C.com, spelled Alli-C.com, or call 855-ALLICIN. That's 855-255-4246. That's 855-255-4246. Protect yourself with Alli-C and Alli-Ban from Affinity Health Products at Alli-C.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news at theparacast.com. That's news at theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
On the Paracast, we're talking to Kevin D. Randall, and we're focusing about those out-of-place things, OOPTHs. Don't ask me to try to say that in any other way. What?
Oops. They're called oops.
Oops. There you go. You see how well I did that, ladies and gentlemen? Okay. So we're seeing here is that something that might be unusual, but not necessarily evidence of an advanced technology, but changing a few words here and there, a few descriptions, and suddenly they become really anomalous. Is that deliberate?
I think in most cases it's not. I think that the other writers, when they've looked at these things, have been a little bit more enthusiastic about their conclusions than they need to be. It's really a matter of interpretation. And I tried to attack it from a more neutral point of view. Well, here's what it says, you know, what does this actually mean, and take it in that direction. There were some things that really are inexplicable. And we don't really understand how they came to be where they were found. These nails that really were associated with granite that seemed to have been dropped at the time the granite was being formed millions of years ago. So there are a couple of real anomalies there. But a lot of times I think it's the enthusiasm of the writer taking him in a direction. And back in my younger days, I probably was as enthusiastic in some of these things and didn't research them as carefully as I could be. The other problem is if one guy makes a mistake and the next guy comes along and he reads the first guy's stuff, he's going to make the same mistake. And I found a couple of places where if you go back to the original source, it's not quite the way it has been interpreted throughout the years. And this really isn't appropriate in this book, but that I was doing some research in a book, and it was about vanishings, people who just disappeared. And one of them was this Oliver Thomas guy who disappeared in Wales in 1909, I think it was. And it was in one of the books that Brad Steiger had done. And I said, well, I know Brad Steiger. Actually, I knew I knew how to get in touch with him, so I called him up. I said, Brad, been looking into this Oliver Thompson thing, oh, that's a hoax. And Brad said that what he does, and it's a wonderful way to be, but it's really not a great investigative technique, was he tends to believe what people tell him until he finds out differently. And so he looks for the mistakes, he looks for that, but he reports honestly what he's been told. If he finds out later that it's wrong, he'll make sure that you know that. And that was one of the things he did with this Oliver Thomas thing. He thought it was a good story, but when I called him to ask him, I said, no, it was a hoax. Didn't try to alibi, didn't try to cover up, told me honestly what it was. So what I tried to do is go back to the original sources, looking at all of these things and seeing how they've been brought to the modern world. The disappearance of Oliver Larch in Ohio, I want to say Cincinnati, but that doesn't sound right. Anyhow, he disappeared, and it was in a book by Morris K. Jessup, and he said, it's all written down in the files of the police department for all to see. You know, here's evidence. The guy disappeared in 1881. You can look it up in the police files, in the police records. So I sent a letter to the police, and they said, our records don't go back that far. They were destroyed in 1924 in a fire. So it wasn't there for everybody to look up in the police files. It was just a statement that Jessup made in his book, which I believe he believed to be the truth. It just wasn't.
Well, maybe he relied on someone else's report. So it's like,
yes,
A reports, B picks up A, modifies it in their own words, and suddenly C and D pick it up, and the story becomes farther and farther removed from the original.
So you need to get back to the point of my book was to get back to the original sources, you know. In fact, in the sequence of government files I had, I just came across another one where they were talking about pre-Arnold 1947 UFO sightings, pre-Kenneth Arnold sightings. And they said one of the best ones was from June 23rd, the day before Arnold, in the Cedar Rapids newspaper. And I thought, well, I live in Cedar Rapids. I'll go look it up, see what it says. Well, so we have this June 23rd sighting from 1947. It's supposedly documented in the newspaper. But Dick Hall talks about it in the UFO evidence. This is an important sighting because it talks about disc-shaped objects prior to Arnold. And so I'm thinking, I'm trying to trace it back, and the earliest reference I can find is from 1956 when Frank Edwards used it in his speech. So I figured, I'm in Cedar Rapids, I'll go down to the newspaper and look. And I talked to the library, and I talked to them and found out there were two newspapers in Cedar Rapids at the time. One was a weekly and the other was a daily. And I went through the newspaper twice for June 23rd, and there was nothing there. I went through the other one, it didn't have an issue on June 23rd, it had one on June 19th, and I think the 24th was the next one that it had. So that didn't help. I eventually found the sighting they were referencing. It actually took place in Joliet, Illinois, It was not published until June 28th, I think, in the Cedar Rapids Gazette, but all the other facts fit. I mean, it was a railroad engineer, and he saw the 10 objects and all that, but it wasn't June 23rd. It was something that Frank Edwards said. I don't know why he said it was published in the newspaper on June 23rd, other than the railroad engineer said he'd seen this thing on the same afternoon that Arnold had seen it, which would be the 24th, so even that was wrong. But others had picked up what Edwards had said in the speech and continued to publish that date as if it was accurate. I was eventually able to trace the story down and find out that it was not published until after Arnold, so it really didn't fit what I was looking for.
Well, I always wondered whether Frank Edwards, and he was a really nice guy, I met him a couple of times, was the most meticulous researcher on the planet. Let's just move on. There's a lot of ground to cover here. Chapter one of your book. This is, of course, one of the linchpins of the ancient astronauts' theory that in the Bible, Ezekiel's wheels were really spaceships, that the gods of the Bible were really aliens. What's your take on it?
If you take a look at Ezekiel's story, Ezekiel being a prophet that had been to Babylon, as a matter of fact, another place to use my Babylon pictures, and his story seems to be actually from ancient Egypt, and talks about something like that. And again, you go to the various sources and you find that the colors that Ezekiel described, I mean, it's almost every color under the sun is available there. The descriptions vary from place to place. And I think this is really a question of the translations. Somebody translates the original into another language, which is translated into still another language, and eventually you get the interpretations of the translators in there as opposed to what was actually originally said. Rockwell International did an experiment a number of years ago where they translated something into Russian and then had another translator translate it back into English. And the one that stuck in my mind is hydraulic rams, which was in the original report, was translated back into English as water lambs. Not exactly the same thing. And so I'm thinking that when you're looking at some of these ancient writings, what you end up with is a translation of a translation of a translation, and each translation has an interpretation by the guy who's doing the translations.
And so the long and short of it is that however hard you try, it may be very difficult unless you go back to the original source material to ever figure out what they're talking about, because there also might be, and we don't want to get into that, because that starts a whole other discussion, a political agenda in translating something in a certain way. The book is Alien Mysteries, Conspiracies and Cover-Ups by Kevin Randall. You're on with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's L-E-M-K-E Soft.com. LemkeSoft.com. L-E-M-K-E Soft.com.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Tees at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Tees. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
Got a simple question for you. Can you sell?
Yes?
Okay. Can you sell the intangible?
If yes, and you'd like to work 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, with no overtime, no weekends, if you're passionate about not closing sales, but about opening relationships, if you truly have a desire to serve global clients who need your advertising expertise, and you're local to the Twin Cities and Burnsville, are hardworking, self-driven, with experience in sales, marketing, or advertising, are personable and a whiz on the phone, GCN wants to talk with you right now. GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is one of the largest independent talk radio networks in the world, and we're hiring right now. We offer benefits and an excellent commission structure. Experience preferred, but we'll train the right person. Is that you? Submit your resume today to advertise@gcnlive.com. Again, that's advertise@gcnlive.com. Come work with the Genesis Communications Network, an equal opportunity employer.
Did you know that gold and silver contain healing properties? It's true. Since the beginning of mankind's history, gold and silver have not only been used as real money, but also for healing our minds and bodies. Utopiasilver.com is your leading source for colloidal silver and colloidal gold, offering supplement protocols that can heal and enhance your health. Protocols for boosting the immune system, insomnia, yeast infections, herpes, and countering the effects of vaccinations and radiation poisoning. And now Utopiasilver.com encourages the use of real money with this buy one, get one free real money special. For details on your colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements, call 888-213-4338 and ask about 50% off for first-time customers. That's 888-213-4338 or visit utopiasilver.com, utopiasilver.com, fighting for liberty and healing one American at a time.
Hello, this is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
With Gene and Chris on the Paracast, we have Kevin D. Randall. I was thinking, Kevin, you haven't done it yet, maybe we'll ask you. We sometimes have guests use that closing stinger, the Paracast. And, of course, Nick Redfern may not have written as many books as you have, Kevin Randall, but he does that very well. And we're thinking maybe we'll have the best of the Paracast, and people will listen to it. And it'll almost be like that Beatles thing, Revolution Number 9. Someone will be saying, instead of number nine, the Paracast for 12 minutes flat. Do you think people will buy that, Kevin?
Given the way people are today, probably. You know?
It'll be a bestseller.
Yes, there you go.
Chris, we didn't have many days to warn our listeners about the presence of Kevin Randall in the Paracast, but we had a few questions and discussions in our forums. You want to start to read a few?
But certainly. The first one comes from a former moderator here at forum.theparacast.com. His name is Angelo, and being the pot-stirring kind of guy he is, he likes to... Yeah, I think he likes to tweak me a little bit on occasion as well. He wonders, Kevin, why do you think there are still some people that think that cattle mutilations are anomalous in nature when, according to scientists and veterinarians, the evidence points to scavengers and predators? Is there too much of a hope that something paranormal is happening which blinds people to the truth? Is this what is happening with most UFO cases?
Wow, that's just a really loaded question, isn't it?
Yeah. Angelo's full of them, believe me.
I think that if you want to know why someone accepts something anomalous, that you should ask that person and not ask me what I think their opinions might be. I personally, in my investigations of the cattle mutilations, and I was one of the first that was involved in that, thanks to Jim Lorenzen, I never came across one that was anomalous, that was not explainable in the mundane.
Mm-hmm.
So I base it on what my experience has been, and I periodically revisit that as I do other things, other areas of the UFO field, the sub genres of the UFO field, to see if there's new information, new evidence that I might have missed that would change my opinion. You know, look at the crop circles again, look at the periodically look at the MJ-12 stuff, but I just can't see anything coming up that's really, unless somebody comes up with a document with a known provenance that talks about MJ-12, that I'm just not going to reverse my opinion on that. Cattle mutilations is one of the things that I periodically revisit, and people periodically send me questions, and how do you explain this phenomenon? And with the internet today, sometimes I can actually come up with some very interesting explanations on that stuff. So on the cattle mutilations, you know, I revisit it periodically. I look at it periodically to see if there's stuff that I might have missed to learn a little bit more about it. But to this point, I haven't found anything that convinces me that the cattle mutilations are extraterrestrial. Let me say it that way, extraterrestrial. There may be other explanations involved in that. But
yeah, I was gonna ask you to clarify that a little bit more. You know, Kevin, I'm writing a book on this particular mystery. I've been researching it for off and on for about 20 years. And as you know, I do have quite an interest in this subject and have investigated around 200 cases. How many cases have you actually gone out on? You're right there smack in an area that was allegedly hit pretty hard in the 70s. How many actual cases where the rancher has claimed that his cattle was killed in an unnatural way or some unusual way? How many have you seen?
Oh, probably several dozen.
Yeah, okay.
And I've talked to vets, and the one vet I always remember, his name was Jeff Davis, and he lives in Wisconsin, and I'm thinking, Jefferson Davis in Wisconsin, that doesn't make sense to me. You know, Jefferson Davis in Alabama, that makes sense to me.
No.
You know, I've talked to the vets, I've talked to some of the people at universities. You know, I've read the Ken Rommel report, which I know you probably are not real thrilled with.
Well, no, actually, you know, I think when my book comes out, it's going to rain on some parades, believe me.
Explain to our listeners, Chris, what this is about, what this report is about.
Well, I'm writing a book called Stalking the Herd, and one of the main detractors of the mysterious nature of this particular kind of mystery, I guess, for lack of a better term, was an FBI agent who was hired by a district attorney in New Mexico back in 1979 at the behest of former Congressman Harrison Schmidt. I think it was a senator, wasn't he, Kevin?
Yeah, senator, yes.
He was a senator.
One of the last men to walk on the moon.
Correct. And he had been petitioned by ranchers because of a whole wave of what the ranchers claimed were unexplained and unnatural deaths of cattle in New Mexico. This was in the 70s, late 70s, going into early 80. Some of these cases were being investigated by Gabe Valdez, the New Mexico State Patrolman, who died in 2011. Who was in charge of the area up around the Dulce, town of Dulce and Hickory Apache Reservation. So Schmidt and Eloy Martinez, the district attorney, arranged to get a grant, and a former FBI agent named Kenneth Rommel conducted Operation Cattle Mutilation, which was one of the only officially sanctioned government studies of this particular phenomenon. There's quite a bit of evidence to suggest that he wanted, similar to, you know, the infamous Condon report, which came out about 10 years earlier, looking at UFOs, that he went into this with his mind fairly well made up. He had a ghostwriter write most of the copy of this report, and it blamed the entire phenomenon or mysterious nature of this on just misidentified scavenger action. And he went on to personally attack many of the principals involved in investigating the New Mexico cases. Now, out of the 80, I think, some odd cases that are cited in the book, Rommel himself never had anything to do with any field investigative work. He did pick and choose the veterinary pathology remarks that he quoted in his report, and really did a good job of character assassination on some of the principals involved, especially Gabe Valdez and an ex-Sandia scientist named Howard Burgess. So the Rommel report, I think, has always been flawed. I think there's a high likelihood that the cases that they were looking at were induced by media, you know, sort of sensationalism. And I do agree with you, Kevin. A vast majority of these cases, just like in UFO sightings, a majority of these cases are misidentified scavenger action, unusual insect scavenging, which most people aren't aware of how very efficient insects can be, especially in dry areas of the cattle country. And birds are very proficient at creating what look to be perfect incisions in the rear ends of animals and whatnot.
If I can interrupt for just a second, I remember seeing photographs of an allegedly mutilated cow where they were talking about there were no footprints around it. And you're looking at the body, and there's bird droppings all over it. And you're thinking, well, yeah, there's no footprints because it was birds, for crying out loud.
Right,
the evidence
right.
is right there on the carcass.
Yeah, and I agree that this subject is filled with just people not knowing a thing about veterinary pathology, number one, and when a perhaps let's say a real case does occur, and the rancher, you know, mentions it to his neighbors and other ranchers, and the word spreads like wildfire, and maybe another case occurs, it may be unusual scavenger action. Word of that gets around. As soon as the newspaper gets involved and starts fanning the flames, and oftentimes, like in the 70s and Dorothy Eldridge in the Gazette Telegraph articles, very sensationalized and really done in a way to, I think, really sell papers more than anything. When this happens, then any dead cow lying out in a pasture that's being scavenged is going to appear to the amateur, you know, untrained observer to be unusual looking, and they'll walk up to it and they'll notice that there's no blood, and they'll freak out and say this animal's been drained of blood. And then Linda Howe will come along and say that aliens are gathering genetic material for lipanized stew or some hybridization process or whatever, as I'm sure you heard her drone on at the citizens' hearing.
No, I did not hear her drone on about that because I purposely skipped that one.
Let's skip into this announcement. We have Kevin Randall joining us with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
To thank you for being a loyal listener, we have a limited time freebie offer for you. Claim your free heirloom tomato seeds, just pay shipping, right now at 123freeseeds.com. These aren't ordinary seeds. These are heirloom, non-genetically modified super seeds that are open pollinated and can be grown, harvested, and replanted endlessly. These survival seeds are actually more valuable than gold in a crisis. Go to 123freeseeds.com and you can get an airtight storage packet of 150 super seeds free while supplies last to say thank you for being a loyal listener. First come, first served. Just cover shipping. Go to 123freeseeds.com now to see if your free heirloom seeds are still available. That's 123freeseeds.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hey everybody, Jason Lewis here with another great idea from JasonLewisTeam.com. Now how would you like an energy drink that's actually good for you? That's right, one that not only gives you an afternoon pick-me-up, but that's loaded with the most important antioxidants for reducing the damage from stress. It's called Pollen Burst, and it's a natural burst of energy that lasts for hours. Now, most energy drinks rely on a massive dose of caffeine, sugar, or even vitamin B. Pollen Burst takes a more balanced approach, and that's why I like it. I also love the fact that Pollen Burst has plenty of vitamin D and green tea extract. This is the best energy drink I've ever tried. So trust me, you'll not only like it better than the others, you'll love the way it's individually packaged for freshness as well. They've got these on-the-go stick packs. They're great. Pollen Burst. It's available at jasonlewisteam.com or simply call 1-855-310-TEAM. For a natural burst of energy, it's Pollen Burst at jasonlewisteam.com or 1-855-310-TEAM.
This is Kurt Sutton, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
So from UFOs, including Roswell, to ancient astronauts, and now to cattle mutilations, and to Linda Howe, with Gene and Chris, we have Kevin Randall. Kevin, of course, is answering your questions posted at forum.theparacast.com in our question bank. And the first questions are about cow mutilations.
Which, by the way, is not covered in my book.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, well, Kevin, you've been out on a few dozen cases. The odds are that you probably saw, you know, what most veterinary pathologists who look at this mystery have said in the past, that this is nothing more than misidentified scavenger action. And we both know, Kevin, that scavengers can be pretty creative in the way that they can attack a carcass. However, do you really have a sense that totally is a blanket explanation for all these cases?
I think it's kind of like when you start looking at UFOs and explanations. Is extraterrestrial the only explanation? Well, no, it's not. There are other explanations possible. I know, and I mentioned Jeff Davis earlier, that he and I were talking about this, and he mentioned that one of the mutilations he'd been to, you know, the farmer had done it, and he'd done it for the insurance money because the cow had died of disease. It had been a sickly cow, and if the cow died of disease, then he didn't get insurance money. But if it had been killed and mutilated, killed by some unknown agency, whatever that agency might be, then he got his insurance money, and Davis knew that. So, I mean, there's another motivation. And I know you're also right that there were copycats. I talked to a group of, you know, meatpacking was big here in Iowa, and still, I guess, is still kind of big in Iowa. And I talked to a number of butchers who'd said that they had come across a cow in the field that had died, and they partially butchered it for the sheer joy of doing it and seeing what the media said about it. The media, I think, spawned a great number of these, the mutilation stories, because sometimes it's really not said that they didn't care. They just didn't ask the follow-up questions.
Right.
Here's a dead cow. It's a mutilation. Yeah, we'll run with that. And they didn't ask the follow-up questions. They didn't go as far into it as they could have. And they may have not done it simply because they didn't have time. They said, you've got to do a story on the mutilation. He knocked out what he had and went on to the next story. So, I mean, there's a whole range of explanations for the whole phenomenon.
Yeah,
I have not. Well, it was Dugway, I think, Dugway Proving Grounds in Utah that released chemical.
Yeah. And killed 6,000 sheep.
Yeah, yeah. And so, I mean, here's something that it was mysterious, but it wasn't extraterrestrial, but it was still something that was mysterious. So.
Yeah, I've always countered people's, you know, touting certain extraterrestrial theories as a possible, you know, explanation for the few high strange cases that we do have on record and have been established. It, of course, if Linda's correct and these beings are coming here from light years away to gather genetic material, wouldn't it be easier just to pick the lock on a slaughterhouse and go in and get all the parts and blood that you could possibly ever need?
Russ Estes and I had a similar statement about alien abduction, which was, if you're doing it for the genetic material, wouldn't it just be easier to abduct the barrels behind the barbershops and get the genetic material that way if you needed it?
Or implants. Why don't they use nanotechnology? Why do they have these things that look suspiciously like pieces of glass and metal?
And again, I mean, with the abductions, you've got the same thing. I don't think there's any one explanation that covers it all. I know that sleep paralysis in abductions does explain some cases of alien abduction. Doesn't explain them all, but it does explain some of them. And one of them I was involved in, which was the Pat Roach abduction in Utah in 1973, and I am absolutely convinced now, having reviewed all the material and learned more about psychology, that she experienced an episode of sleep paralysis. And that explains the whole thing of the aliens come in the house and the whole thing. But does that mean that all alien abductions are explainable by sleep? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
It means that one case is explainable by it, and there's probably others that are explainable by it.
There's probably others, correct.
But it does not explain them all.
Well, how familiar are you with the National Institute of Discovery Sciences work, veterinary pathologist Dr. George Onet, Colm Kelleher, and the Field Investigative Network, including Gabe Valdez, who I think worked for them 5 or 6 years? Are you familiar with the papers they published on the mutilation phenomenon?
Yes.
Well, what do you think of their theory that actually went on to spawn Colm Kelleher's book, Brain Trust? What do you think of the theory that we saw a monitoring program in the 80s and 90s that may have been looking for transmissible spongiform encephalopathy or prion disease, mad cow disease, if you will, in the food chain?
Yeah, it's just one of those things. You would think it would be simpler just to buy the cows.
How do we know they don't do that?
We don't.
The government rents grazing land in certain areas and raises livestock on it. We know that the National Institutes of Health have done that.
But what I'm saying is, it seems to me it would be easier to buy the cows and leave the remains of the animal behind for people to find and then start all kinds of inquiry into it. Because the last thing you'd want to do is draw attention to something like that.
Well, actually, if you take the animals, that's when the police report's filed. If you leave it there, there's no police report filed. And it's plausible deniability.
I'm saying if you buy the animal as opposed to steal it. You know, I don't know. The other thing is, I know back in the early 70s when I was flying for the Iowa National Guard, we were flying helicopters from point A to point B, and one of the guys in the formation says, "You're not going to believe this, we're taking fire." And some farmer was shooting at us because the rumors were that the helicopters were being used to rustle cattle. So I'm thinking, you know, we're flying gunships. Maybe we should return fire for fire extinguished.
They call you a UFO, Kevin.
Yeah, well, there's also a theory that returning pilots from Vietnam in 75 were out on the front range of Colorado, based out of Fort Carson, having funny games, just sort of pranking the ranching community by going down and mutilating cattle. And then when the sensationalism and the hysteria hit, voila, you have yourself a bona fide paranormal mystery on your hands.
I would not think that. Being a Vietnam helicopter pilot myself, I would not think. I think they might have pranked people. I wouldn't think they'd be down there murdering cattle just to for fun and games like that.
Returning vets. I mean,
remember, you're talking to a returning vet here.
I know.
And I was a helicopter pilot, so
yeah.
I can speak with some authority to this.
You can absolutely. So. That theory was put forward by some law enforcement officials back in the 70s, and it's a bit of a stretch. But I've talked to two sheriffs whose guys tried to bring down military-style helicopters in the midst of a very intense, the perception of a very intense wave of cattle, unexplained cattle deaths. In the case of one rancher, 49 head in 2 weeks. That's the predators and scavengers must be awful hungry and efficient to be able to pull that off, by the way. And they did stake out his ranch and try to bring down choppers, which in one, they actually made it smoke. And they were kind of unsure whether it was going to make it all the way back to 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 Fort Carson where they.
Well, you know, the helicopters, depending, you know, you could bring down a helicopter with a single round, depending if you hit it right. And in one case, I took 105 hits in one helicopter, and we flew it out.
Wow.
So,
that was one scary.
No, it was annoying.
105, how did you count them?
One, two, three.
You know what I mean.
After we got back, we landed, and we counted. The aircraft was pretty well done in. I hit an anti-tank mine with a helicopter and managed to fly it out. So, and it was pretty well total once we got out. They couldn't believe I actually got it off the ground. And had I been thinking, I would not have. I would have left it where it was, ridden out with somebody else instead of flying out myself. So it just really, really depends. I just can't see. I can see guys doing low level. Hell, we used to do that all the time because it was fun. I remember chasing a deer one day with a helicopter, in Texas, just flying along. I was just chasing the deer for something to do, and I realized it was getting really worn out. So I said, well, that's enough of that. We'll leave the poor deer alone. And I took off.
I was reported as, harassing a herd of cattle. I had been picked up by a helicopter. A friend of mine had hired a helicopter to come down to the San Luis Valley and to videotape the area. And we videotaped in a big circle around the valley. And he let me fly back from Monta Vista to Crestone, which is about 65 miles. He let me actually say, keep your feet off the rudders, but you can go ahead and fly. And so I was...
Actually, it's not rudders, but that's okay.
We won't be politically correct here. I don't know if I want Chris O'Brien to fly a helicopter in which I'm riding, but that's how it goes. Kevin Randall joining Gene and Chris. You're in...
The Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Weakened by GMOs, stressed out about money, and blasted by the electric environment. Hi, I'm Pastor Jenny, and that was the state I was in back in 2010. Then I learned about RNA drops. I learned that 97% of my DNA that scientists have called junk is actually packed with millions of gene switches that play a critical role in controlling how my cells, organs, and other tissues behave. I learned I don't have to put up with disease, decay, or decline like I'd been conditioned to believe. I began taking RNA drops, a 100% natural formula designed to turn on those switches and provide me with amazing health and joy. Learn more about RNA drops and order a free sample today. Visit rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call toll-free 888-577-3703. Pay only shipping and handling for a free 30-day supply of RNA drops. Get the information you need and the health you want at rnafreesample.com.